Times Square now. They say it's temporary for the Super Bowl, but I don't think they are.
I believe you.
And I think there's a lot more than 200, too.
Are there 200 vantage points of Times Square that don't already have a camera?
They'll put them in every nook and cranny if you give them a chance. Just look at London. There, you cannot not see a camera any direction you look. Any other thoughts?
No, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for yours. Take care. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up.
Hi, dear. Can you hear me?
Yes, speak up a little bit, and okay. I think we'll be fine.
Thank you for taking my call. I have two quick questions, and I'm going to try to be as brief as possible.
Okay.
Number one, is it mandatory, or can the telephone company force you to go on to Viber, what is it?
Fios.
Fios.
Can they force you?
Right. They have been calling me on a constant basis, writing me on a constant basis, even interrupted my telephone service to get me to go over into their new plan, which I choose not to.
Right. And this has been the case in many places. I know Fire Island after Sandy. Basically, they're trying to get people to go on to Fios as well. It's not as dependable as regular POTS line. Many people say it doesn't sound as good. Bernie, you have any information on this as far as, I don't know if the two of you can hear each other, but any information?
The best people to ask about this is the New York State Public Utilities Commission. They can tell you what Verizon is allowed to do and not from a regulatory standpoint. The Fire Island thing is actually Verizon was trying to put everybody onto some wireless kind of thing that ran over, like cell phone frequency. It was like a radio thing.
Oh, it wasn't Fios. Okay.
Right. But it's the same kind of concept. They're trying to get people off of a wireline, and Fios is not wireline. It's just run by a little battery in your house. Like when the power goes out, you're not as likely to get as reliable service as you would with a pair of copper wires like a regular landline.
Right.
So call your New York State Public Utilities Commission. The phone number is in the beginning of your phone book if you still have one, or you can look it up online. They're generally pretty helpful people, and they can, if you have a complaint, they will take it seriously. So I suggest you try that.
Okay. Did you have a second question? Make
My
it very quick.
My question is this. In reference to where I'm employed, Google has now taken over the account, and in order, we've been asked to basically say that we agree to the policies whereupon any account that we may have, the employer has access to.
Oh, wow.
He gains access to by the employee signing on for the service at work. So any other accounts that you have, that's privied to your employer. And I thought this was really not a fair or just procedure whereupon your employer can go into any of your accounts.
When you say account, what kind of accounts are we talking about?
Like your email, if you have a private email with Amazon or Google, you have a Google, a Gmail account.
Yeah.
Now, where I am employed, I have an account through that agency.
Okay, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but this opens up a whole can of worms, and I think that it's something we're going to be dealing with in the future. I would never, ever give up control or access to an account to any other agency, any other employer, anything like that. I know that's hard for some people to do, but it's a choice we wind up facing more and more, and we'll be here to talk about it. Hey, we're out of time. Personal Computer folks are up next. We'll be back, I think we'll be back next week for the fundraiser. In any event, we will be. Okay, good. OTH@2600.com is our email address, and we welcome your cards and letters there.
No security for you. Fire! That is something. Okay. And that, let me tell you something. If somebody, Joe, hold on. Gotta call Joe back. Okay, if somebody is threatening to throw you over a balcony, you don't have to have lunch with that person. Looking for a card here.
This is Mike Cannon. I'm doing the first Too Raw for Radio comedy experience. It's every first Monday, 6:30 p.m. reception, 8 p.m. comedy show, located on 388 Atlantic Ave, Brooklyn, New York. Sponsored by WBAI New York 99.5.
Where am I? All right, it's 8 o'clock here at WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. And this is the Personal Computer Show. I've got to get Dave and Joe on the phone. Hank, take it away.
That's fine. Thank you, Stevie. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. This is Hank Key, and I'm in the studio with Stevie DB. And Stevie, as always, is very efficient. That's why we don't have David and Joe online. But we'll get them on the line. Stevie,
yeah,
I think that, we have to retrain you again.
I'd rather fly.
Well, I'll tell you what, while we're waiting to be hooked up, let me just, say that, there's a piece of news that was on that was very important that happened last week. And what happened was that, Gmail was out and I thought it was just me. And I went crazy trying to, you know, sign on to it. I couldn't sign on. It turns out Gmail was not only out for me, but just about the rest of everyone else that was using Gmail or using Google, G Drive and everything else was out. And one of the things was I was getting an error code, 505. And I wonder, what the heck is that? And they said, you know, what you do is you go to Google to find out. Well, if you can't get into Google, how do you find out? Well, I'm sorry, the error was a temporary error 500. You know how I found out what temporary error 500 was? I went to Yahoo. I went to Bing. You know, it's very embarrassing for Google to have this happen. But you know what? That's a fact of life. They own up to it. They got it fixed. And they traced the problem to a programming bug.
What does Joe feel about that?
Well, I don't know. But at least it's fixed now. And oh, you know, when you talk about how does Joe feel about it, I had sent Joe some email. Joe, are you there?
I am, and I'm listening with interest about this.
Okay, because remember, I said, Joe, I sent you email, and you say, what's the date, the time on it? You went looking for it, and you couldn't find it, and I forwarded back to you saying that that it was sent, not didn't get kicked out. Remember that? You were saying, how come you didn't get it?
Right, the thing is, according to the header, when you sent me the copy of it, you had originally sent it at 10:30-something.
10:23 a.m. With an attachment, and you got nothing.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
But the big question I have is not that one. What else didn't I get that day?
It's only if someone tells you. Well, listen, Joe, I'll tell you what you didn't get. Spam from at least via Google.
Hank, I throw out my spam mailbox once a week.
Once a week only? I do it every day.
No. And do you know how much was in it last week?
Probably 10. About maybe 100.
24,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
By the way, what happened, Joe, was that one of the symptoms that they knew that Gmail had gone awry was that one of the Gmail users, he was getting a lot of email that was misdirected to him.
And this was different. Why?
Yep. Well, who knows? Well, look, it's fixed.
That's Dave Perry, by the way.
And I have to say that now we got the full crew back up and running. We have David Perry on the West Coast, and we have Joe King on the East Coast. And welcome, gentlemen. And
Joe, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly.
And I can hear you. Well, thank you, whoever came out
phones.
And fixed that. I would
Grayson
like to
fixed
thank
it
you
last
personally.
Week.
Yeah, it was fixed last week, and we miss you, but I know that you had a scheduling conflict, so you didn't get the good news. And maybe we needed to, you know, it's, hey, look, with all the cold weather we have, maybe it's the cold weather keeping everything, you know, stitched together. Who knows?
I don't know. How long have we been in that studio, Hein?
Since the beginning of last year in January.
So we've been there approximately a full year.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
That's how long it must have been. Really a lot of wiring they had to do to fix that problem, because it took them a full year to fix it.
No,
I'm not going
to
complain.
Let me put it this way. You know what? It's fixed, and I want to get to something more important, because, Dave, I understand that you have something that you want to say about Pete Seeger.
I'd like to celebrate, thank you, Hank, I'd like to celebrate one of the most remarkable lives ever lived. He was born in 1919 and served in World War II. He was awarded the highest civilian honor the USA has to offer, and yet was held in contempt of Congress. He played the banjo, and in a circle around the head of that banjo are written these words: "This machine surrounds hate and forces it to surrender." I'm talking about Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger was born the son of a musicologist and a concert violinist and grew up seeing the folk music of America. He first picked up the ukulele and then turned to the banjo a little later on. He bummed around with Woody Guthrie and Lead Belly and Cisco Houston and eventually played to sold-out crowds at Wolf Trap, at the Hollywood Bowl, and at Carnegie Hall. With his group The Weavers, he had several charting hits and once even had a number one hit with Irene Goodnight. Though blacklisted at the time, many of the big folk hits of the early 60s were from his pen and voice, including Where Have All the Flowers Gone and Turn, Turn, Turn. Pete inspired everyone from Bob Dylan to Bruce Springsteen. He stood for workers' rights. He stood for women's equality. He stood for civil rights. And with his sloop, the Clearwater, he stood for ecology and clean water. He was a man of virtue and courage and a good friend to WBAI New York. The following is an excerpt of what Pete said to the House Un-American Activities Committee. For what he said here, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but his conviction and all charges were overturned. When the Smothers Brothers ended his exile from network television, they were thrown off the air at the direct order of no less a person than Richard Milhouse Nixon, who was, at that time, President of the United States of America. Pete Seeger is a touchstone of American freedom. He is the ultimate litmus test of political sensibility. Listen to what he said that made all the trouble. Mr. Seeger: "I have sung for Americans of every political persuasion, and I am proud that I never refused to sing to an audience, no matter what religion or color of their skin or situation in life. I have sung in hobo jungles, and I have sung for the Rockefellers. I am proud that I have never refused to sing for anybody. That is the only answer I can give you along that line. Except for the answer I have already given you, I have no answer. The answer I gave you, you have, don't you? That is, I am proud that I have sung for Americans of every political persuasion, and I've never refused to sing for anybody because I disagreed with their political opinion, and I am proud of the fact that my songs seem to cut across and find perhaps a unifying thing, basic humanity. And that is why I would love to tell you about these songs, because I feel that you would agree with me more, sir. I know many beautiful songs from your home county, Carbon and Monroe, and I have hitchhiked through there and stayed in the homes of miners. Mr. Tavener, my question was whether or not you sang these at the functions of the Communist Party. You answered it indirectly, and I understand your answer, or are you saying or you did? Except for that answer, I decline to refer to answer further. Did you understand that it is the feeling of the committee that you are in contempt as a result of the position you take? Mr. Seeger, I can't say. Mr. Seeger, I decline to discuss under compulsion where I have sung and who has sung my songs and who else has sung with me. And the people I have known, I love my country very dearly, and I greatly resent this implication that some of the places I have sung and some of the people